What a service. What a God we serve. Compassionate and loving toward us. Not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. Well, I'm glad. I tell you, I told Danny this, and Jess, I don't want to be the bucket of cold water. I really don't. I love the feeling that God has given us here this morning. And that feeling is certainly His love and His Spirit moving amongst His people. And it's what God laid on our heart. And I've already quoted it, and God has just demonstrated it. And it's found in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I'm just going to read one verse this morning. I won't preach long, but I do want to share with you what God has laid on my heart. Chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting up on the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, I thank You that God, that wasn't just in the Old Testament days, that Your Spirit would fill the house. God, I'm so thankful that You come and abide with Your people. Me, God, a sinner, Lord, a man so imperfect with so many mistakes, and yet You love me. God, I'm so thankful and mindful of Your love and mercy. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, I wish the whole world could feel Your tender love and mercy. God, maybe there's somebody here this morning. God, they feel rejected and outcast. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, as we do our best to uplift Jesus, God, that they could feel, Lord, Your love and Your mercy. God, Your Spirit draw them to You. God, there are times that, Lord, You send messages that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a just God. And it is. But oh God, every now and again, You draw us with the band and cords of love. And oh God, thank You for loving us as unlovable as we are. God, there's no one so far gone that You don't love them, that You can't save them. Lord, there have been so many arrogant men from behind the bookboard that have scattered the flock. Lord, that have hurt little lambs. And Lord, they've said things and done things to cast abroad rather than to draw together. Oh God, I thank You. When Your Spirit moves in love and power, there's a drawing. God, I thank You. Lord, I love You this morning. Now, as Isaiah saw You high and lifted up, may we lift up Jesus. Lord, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, and all who looked upon it were made whole from the serpent's bite. Oh God, how we lift Jesus up, because He is the healer of our soul. God, thank You for healing my broken, wounded heart, for saving me. God, and I know not me alone, but for all the world You died. God, I pray, have Your way, speak to us. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Let me say that there is the surrounding, and you'll have to give me just a minute to get myself together. I know that's not appropriate, but I'm sorry. The surrounding of this passage means everything. What was going on? In the scripture, Isaiah simply said it was in the year that King Uzziah died. But if we understand what the surrounding was, we'll understand that though we may be in a different age, things really never change. Humanity does and is who we've always been. We're sinners in need of a Savior. In Uzziah's reign, his dad before him, Ahaziah, was a man that loved the Lord. He was a man that had restored or put into, I guess, action the restoration of the armies of Israel. He was a king of Judah. The kingdom was divided. And they loved him. But he had got to a place where he had become a politician. And he wanted to appease everybody. And let me say this. By trying to appease everybody, somebody going to turn against you. And so they did. And they slew him. And at the age of 16 years old, Uzziah becomes a king of Judah. He's got a heart after God. He loves God with all of his heart. He's been instructed well by his mother. And he begins to even do greater work in the kingdom of Israel or the kingdom of Judah. God uses him to make an army of 308,000 men. Men that were great soldiers. They could crush any army. And the outskirts, Israel, where the kingdom is divided, is already being carried away by the Assyrians. And now here they are. God has blessed them. And they're strong and they've got a great leader and a great king. I want you to listen to what it said of him in 1 Chronicles and the 26th chapter. It said this, he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning man, towers and bowers to shoot arrows and stones. And his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously held till he was strong. Is there anybody in the house of God that's been marvelously held? I want to tell you, I'm not where I'm at and who I am today because I'm anybody. I've been marvelously helped by the grace and the hand of Almighty God. I've been marvelously helped. You didn't get where you're at on your own. You've been marvelously helped by the hand of God. Our nation is not just a nation of circumstance and happenstance. We have been marvelously helped by the hand of God. But there's something that happens if we're not careful. And it happens in my life, and I'm sure it happens in your life. When God really uses us and God blesses us, if we're not careful, we get lifted up with pride. There's seven things that the Lord hates. And a proud look is one of them. And we get lifted up with pride, and we feel like we can really do something. I'm going to tell you, anything man can do, God can undo it in a second. Listen, I spent all summer working, trying to make the best crop that I know how to make. And oh, we had everything cultivated and everything looking pretty. Walked out of the field on Friday evening and said, look at what we've done. And that night it rained 4 inches in about an hour. And everything that we had worked for was standing underwater. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing that we can do that if God don't bless it, it won't fall apart. I'm going to tell you this. Oh, I was proud with my chest out. Look what I've done. I'm going to tell you this. I've learned me a lesson, men and women. I'm not what I've done. God bless me with what I've got. And the fruit of the field, God bless me. The fruit of the labor in the house of God. It's not because I'm a great preacher. It's because God has blessed us. Pride. It goes before the fall. Pride, when we get high and lifted up. It said this, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Let me tell you what he done. Uzziah goes in to the temple. There they're performing the sacrifices. They've got their censers in there burning incense unto God. That was for the priest to do. And old Uzziah says, well, look at what I am and look at what I've done. I'm a man after God's heart. I'm a man that served the Lord. I can do this on my own. And he went in there and he grabbed a censer. And the priest withstood him and said, Uzziah, you are wrong. I'm going to tell you something. If you're my friend, every now and then you got to tell me that I'm wrong. If you love me, every now and again you've got to correct me. Every now and then you've got to set me straight. Listen to me, deacons, and my brothers and sisters, each and every one of you, we're laborers together in the house of God. And if you see me doing something wrong, every now and again it's all right to say, Brother Russell, what are you doing, boy? That's all right. A man that's full of pride gets angry at correction. He is a fool, but a man with a broken heart and a contrite spirit will love the correction and love you for it. Let me say this, young people. Hey, and yeah, that gets into your life. Your mom and daddy love you. Your mom and daddy have experienced some things that you have not experienced. They don't tell you what they tell you to keep you from having fun. They correct you because they love you. Used to. My dad would correct me about 16. I don't know what gets into it. Somebody said it's testosterone. You ladies got to deal with estrogen. And then we got to deal with it. And all these things, these chemicals hit our bodies. And I thought at 16 I was a man. You know what I learned in a hurry? I wouldn't use a man of what I thought I was. And about 21, my daddy started getting really, really smart because I started listening to the words that he had to say. And every now and then, my same daddy, he'll rebuke me and say, boy, don't forget who writes the checks. I said, it's mama. And he says, thou hast well said. Pride will absolutely destroy us. There are people in our lives that God has put there that loves us, that comes, and they come. And listen, let me say this. If God sends you to somebody to help correct him, you better do it in the right spirit and the right heart. It'll be with love and with tenderness. Listen, there's so many people. And here's the problem. Our pride has made us believe that we're greater than who we are. Every one of us in the house of God are apt to fall off the pedestal we put ourselves on. So let me just go ahead and kick it all out from every one of us. Sinners. Saved by the grace of God we are, but still sinners. Saved by the grace of God. Listen, here Uzziah was, the priest said, you've got to stop this. You're in the wrong spirit. Your pride has caused this. No, I'm going to do what I want to do. And you know what happened? Leprosy struck him in the forehead as he was withstanding them, as he was arguing with them. Leprosy hit him right here. Do you know where the real battle's at and where it all starts? It starts in our mind. When we believe ourselves to be better than someone else, when we believe ourselves to be more righteous or more holy or more right with God than someone else, you've got a problem. Leprosy struck him right here. You know what happens to us? God blesses us. God uses us a little bit, and we begin to think, man, I've arrived at some status. I'm going to tell you, there is no status. We're all servants for the living God, working together. The pastor is not up here, and the church down here. We're all here together. The ground is level at Calvary. And it informs the way we treat people, our attitude does. Listen, if we're not careful, we look at a lost and dying world and we say, you know what? Those sorry, no good for nothings. And they get out there and wreck their life and they get what they deserve. I'm going to tell you, hey, you better watch that kind of attitude. If we all got what we deserve, we'd be on our way to hell. I want to tell you, the road to hell is littered by prideful men who thought they were something greater than what God meant for them to be. Uzziah said, I can do this on my own. I don't need God's direction. I don't need God's permission. Now listen, It'll come time, I guess, or maybe we're already there. I told you that I felt like, and I feel this way in my heart, that if it's your will and your desire for me to serve you, I've told you that I'll be glad to serve you as your pastor another year. But I want to tell you this, as your pastor, I'll promise you this, I'm no better than anybody in here. We're all laboring together. We all suffer together. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But thank God if we do it together, there's strength in it. They ushered him out. He died. He was this great king. There's a great fear that comes on my heart in this scripture. Because if I get high and lifted up with pride, God can take it all away. The name that God has given me, the name that God has given us as a church, if God takes His hand off of it, it's just not the same. I go around and I'm blessed to go into a lot of different churches. I'm going to tell you right now, glory to the Lamb of God. This is a different place. The hand of God has been upon us. You don't just walk in anywhere and feel what God let us feel in that choir loft and in this sanctuary. Do you realize God don't have to do that? But He does. And unworthy as I am, God lets me feel. And some of you have been through the struggles and you've been through the ups and downs. And oh, I pray that when God moves and you see the church, I hope it blesses your soul. Pride. Oh, God. I called Donnie this morning and me and him were talking about somebody. And I got on my soapbox. Who am I to judge another man? Oh, God. Pride. Pride will take the words of somebody that loves me and is trying to help me and turn them into words that offend me. I'm going to tell you, it's not the kiss of a brother or the words. Let me say it like this, biblically. It's not the slap or the smite of a brother you need to worry about. It's the kiss of an enemy. Y'all have to think about that. Pray. That's another message for another day. He was high, lifted up in his own mind, and God allowed him and smote him with leprosy. And now the whole nation, or the part of the nation of Israel called Judah, the kingdom of Judah, sees this great man whom they love, and God has smote him. Do you know what the scripture says? He was cast out of the temple and never went back in. God cast him aside. Listen, and really it was his own sin and his pride that cast him aside. How many have left the house of God proud and angry and walk out and say, I'll never go back. And they're still sitting in their houses on a Sunday morning and the rest of their family is living and seeing that anger and that hatred. All of them just as hateful and angry as the ones before. Here they are in that state. The nation is weeping and crying. People are asking questions. How could God let this happen? Boy, have you heard that over the last several months and weeks? Let me say this. All these people that are asking those same questions are the very ones that want to take politics and divide our country. And they want to divide everybody against themselves. They would love to divide the house of God. And I'm going to tell you this, we're not going to agree on every issue, but I'll tell you, I can love you and respect your opinion. I can love you and we can, listen, I hate the word coincide. I hate the word exist. We can worship together. But I'm going to tell you this, if the Word of God says it's a sin and an abomination, it is an abomination and a sin. But the same God that said it was such is the same God that says, come and let me love you. We want to tell people about their sin, but we don't want to tell them about the love that is worth finding to forgive them of their sin. So here they are. They're in a great state of... Some of y'all were here. Boy, I'm going to ask you to show your age. Be real careful. Who remembers the Kennedy assassination? Y'all, some of y'all remember that. Y'all are old. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't help myself. Had flesh, blood. Not so much sure the Lord was in that. That was a great leader of our nation. I can't imagine what would have felt like for this leader to be gone. I don't know, did it feel like the country was lost, wandering around in the dark? That's what it seemed like it would have. Barbara, that's exactly how Judah was. Our leader's gone, and he was a great man, and he's died of leprosy. What are we going to do? And old Isaiah says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the house of God. He goes to the house of God, and he tells us, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and lifted up. Aren't you glad? All the stuff that's going on around us, all the division and the hatred and the strife, we still have a place where we can come and see the Lord lifted up. What we felt this morning, that's from heaven. The world can't replace that. So Brother Russell, watch the message this morning. My prayer for you is that you would see the Lord high and lifted up. You know what it said? The glory of His train filled the temple. When I quoted that this morning, I'm going to tell you something. There's some glory in the house of God this morning. Those of you that sung, Lord, have mercy, Leanne, Lydia, I can go on, Tabitha. I mean, whenever y'all sing and the glory is lingering near and you've got a hold of that glory, I tell you, it's hard to stand it. It's so good. Church, thank God that we can still experience His glory. Now listen, and I'm closing. So, Brother Russell, been a long time since I've experienced any of the glory. I want to ask you this. Where are you walking with the Lord? Are you really living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, His glory is to be found. And to find it, you've got to search for it. But thank God, it's always ever present. Stand to your feet this morning. I appreciate these that have come and that have prayed already. Boy, I hope you got a hold of the Lord. I know you did. See the countenance on your face, you did. If you're here this morning and all you've got is despair and misery, and you don't have any glory in your life, let me ask you, Christian friend, do you have any glory in your life? Oh, and it ain't self-glory. It ain't nothing I've done. It's in spite of all that I've done because of what He did. Come get us a song, if you will, this morning. And the glory of His train filled the temple. I'm going to tell you what. As a 12-year-old boy, one night I was lost and undone. I went to an altar of prayer. Do you know what filled my heart? His glory. I'm talking, you remember old AJ years ago, he'd get tore up talking about the Lord's glory. I'm going to tell you this about the Lord's glory. It's better felt than told. And I thank God that He's passed by this morning. Oh, if you need to pray, I'll tell you this. Listen, there are a lot of houses and a lot of temples that are empty. When the glory of His train fills the temple, that's a good time to pray. That's a good time to search when the Spirit of God is moving. If He's dealt with your heart and you just need to pray, you come pray this morning as they sing.